Everyone, once again, I couldn't help but think of the verse this morning, laughter is good medicine, so we'll get a little bit of laughter today, huh? Let's look through the Word of God in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 40. In recent times, when we were with you last month, we took a couple of messages looking at the man Joseph. In times past, we were working through several messages in Genesis with some of the primary characters of the book, particularly Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. After a little time in study of 2 Timothy and briefly at the tabernacle, just when we had the chart with us that particular day, we've moved back to the study of Genesis and chapter 37. We picked up with Joseph. He's the primary character throughout the remainder of the book of Genesis, along with his father Israel, which is Jacob. From chapters 37 to 45, we see Jacob pretty much behind the scenes and primarily looking at Joseph. And then we'll see the two of them reunited as we would go into the latter chapters of the book. But as we look at Joseph, we see him as a wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though we may not see a particular verse that identifies him as a type of Christ, we see, as far as just repeated circumstances, a wonderful picture of Christ. Some Bible students and teachers have suggested that you can find from chapters 37 to 45 in the area of 100 similarities. That's a tremendous observation. And as you think of these things, in chapter 37, you may recall, we're introduced to him when he's 17 years old, and we see that he's there with his brethren. And of course, that particular chapter, we find that his brethren would hate him, envy him, strip him, sell him, conspire against him, sit down and watch him there, as it were, as reminders of what happened to the Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospels as we see him at the cross of Calvary on his way to the cross. And so, as he being younger than 10 of his brothers, having one younger being Benjamin, we see the interaction there is the favorite of the father, the one that was given the coat of many colors, the one that would be sent to check on his brothers and bring back report, the one that had responsibility in certain areas. And so as we studied that day, chapter 37 and then 39, we see that this one, Joseph, has been found faithful in whatever circumstances he was put in. And we find not only there in his father's house with his brethren, but as he was sold eventually into Egypt, as we find him in Potiphar's house in chapter 39, he was faithful there as well. We don't find anything specifically said of this man that was showing sin, even though we know he was a man and not perfect. But as far as on the record, we don't find something negative or identified in Scripture said of him. That's a rare thing. And yet we find in that chapter 39 that the wife of Potiphar, the one in whose house he was a leader in, there as this Potiphar was a captain of the guard in Egypt, she lied on him, as it were. She spoke false things concerning him, and he ended up in prison, where once again there's an opportunity for him to be faithful. And at the end of chapter 39, we left off realizing that he prospered even there as he was given responsibility. So whether it was back home with his father, whether it was in Potiphar's house, or whether it was in prison, Joseph was a diligent, faithful man. We come now into chapter 40. And in these next two chapters, as we'd like to consider them this day, we find this one that was a dreamer back in chapter 37. We now find him as one that would interpret dreams. And this also is going to be key in the story of this man, Joseph. Let's begin by reading the first few verses of chapter 40. And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard, into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season in ward. So we find early on in verse 1 and 2 that he offended, these two offended the Pharaoh, as it were, the baker and the butler. I'm sure in some situations when you're around the king's palace, so to speak, it could be tenuous. It may not take a lot to offend the one who expects so much, the one who's in charge. So we don't know exactly what happened, but they offended him, and the baker and the butler were put into prison. Verse 2 tells us that he was wroth, he was very angry, this king of Egypt. Notice in verse 3 and 4, as we read, it speaks of the captain of the guard. That's an interesting term. For at the end of chapter 37, we saw the last verse of that chapter, when Joseph had been sold to the Ishmaelites, who eventually ended up bringing him up, selling him to Potiphar. It tells us there that he was put into the hands of Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, and captain of the guard. That term is associated with Potiphar. Chapter 39 picks back up with the story of Joseph. Again, verse 1 and 2. We're reminded here in verse 1 that the captain of the guard is this one, Potiphar. Then at the end of 39, where we left off the last time, it speaks of the prison and that situation Joseph was in. There in verse 21, 22, 23, it speaks of how there was this keeper of the prison. So we see a different term used there when he's in that situation. But the interesting point I want to bring out is in chapter 40 this morning, we notice that once again, in verse 3 and 4 there, it speaks of the captain of the guard. Some have suggested perhaps this is making connection back with Potiphar. Not totally positive, but as we see that, perhaps there is some interaction once again with this one Potiphar. We know the situation before was that his wife had lied concerning Joseph, and he took his wife's word for it, was angry, put him in prison. So regardless of these terms, we find Joseph in prison, Joseph given responsibility once again, verse 3 and 4, as he has charge over these ones as they are brought in prison with him, the butler and the baker. Now the butler, that term means to be a cupbearer. So we notice these are two very important roles in a king's palace. The cupbearer, the butler, and this chief baker. Picking up, if we could, now verse 5 to 8. These are important verses to understand the flow of things in our story today. Verse 5, and they dreamed a dream, both of them, that is the butler and the baker, each man his dream in one night. Each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning, and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today? And they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. Why are you so sad? We've all had dreams, I presume, of one type or another. And sometimes we wake up in the morning, that's kind of interesting, or that's perplexing, or you might wake with kind of an odd mood or something. But these were sad, both of them. It's interesting when we note this one Joseph. Again, keeping in mind, here's the flow of the story, but he's also a wonderful picture of Christ. Here he's concerned. These ones that were in the same plight as he, there they were in prison. But why are you so sad? Tell me. Perhaps I can help. We think of Hebrews chapter 4. We turn there for a moment for these familiar verses. We think of the Lord Jesus, the one who came here as a man, the one who has been in such a place as us, yet sin apart, and He can relate to us. Hebrews 4 and 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin or sin apart. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. As we go through the struggles of life, the issues of life, things that sometimes don't seem fair, things that we may bring upon because of our own sin nature, we can understand that the one who did not sin, nor could sin, the impeccable one, the Lord Jesus, He can understand. He can relate. He's there for us. He's the one that's seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. He's our intercessor. He's our mediator, our advocate. He has been touched with the feeling of our infirmities.
Amen.
And so as we think of this one Joseph, he's in prison as well. And it was because of something unjust that his brothers did to him, eventually because of what was unjustly done by Potiphar's wife. A double whammy, you might say. And here he is. But why are you so sad? Tell me. So we come back to chapter 40. And we note there in verse 8, the issue of the dreams are brought before him. We've dreamed a dream. There's no interpreter of it. Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? And so here's this one who, back in chapter 37, when he told those dreams to his family, you know, your sheep will bow down to mine and such as this, and, you know, oh, how dare you say that we'll bow down to you one day? Of course, in the big picture, we see how it's a wonderful reminder of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the story, as we're in the midst of it, will carry out and show those dreams to be true. But this one that was the dreamer and mocked for it, now he's the one that will be in the role of interpreter. The one that was mocked is now the one who's needed. Kind of an irony there. And yet we see that he points to God. Do not interpretations belong to God? I'm just a messenger. And for you and me that know Christ as our Savior, when we go to someone, we witness to a lost person, or even talking to a fellow believer, and we point out things that is, thus saith the Lord, it's God's Word, it's His message. We're only a messenger. We're bringing what God has said. And so we can rest and have comfort in this, whether speaking to the lost, or whether speaking to a brother or a sister in need. And so when we think on these things, how powerful words that Joseph could say, do not interpretations belong to God. And so with this, we're reminded of the attributes of God, the characteristics of God. He's the one who's omniscient. He's the one who knows all things. It's His program. It's His calling. It's His counsels. With this, let's turn for a moment to the prophet of Daniel. Daniel chapter number 2. Other places to consider this study of dreams and interpretations would often bring our minds to the book of Daniel. Many things in this book that point to prophetic issues and remind us of overlapping with the book of Revelation, for example. But in particular, chapter 2, we'll read several verses here, not the entire chapters. It's a lengthy chapter, but let's just make a contrast or comparison to what we found with Joseph. Here's Daniel, when we think of captivity time and such. Chapter 2, it tells us, verse 1, in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep brake from him. So he calls for these magicians and astrologers and sorcerers and tell me, I've been troubled by a dream. But their response is, O king, live forever. Tell thy servant the dream. There in verse 4. And we'll show you the interpretation. But he didn't cooperate such as that. The thing is gone from me, he would say. Verse 6. But if ye show the dream and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. So in a sense, he's putting me in a corner. You know, I'm not going to give you the benefit of telling you what I dreamed. You tell me that too. Well, of course, you might think your knees are knocking a little bit now. You know, we have these good things that would happen to us if we get it right, but if we don't, well. And so we find the Chaldeans in verse 10 answered and said, there's not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king nor lord nor ruler that asks such a thing at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. It is a rare thing that the king required, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. But there's this one Daniel in verse 14, and he answered with counsel and wisdom. He goes on as we pick up in verse 17. He went to these ones in verse 19. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is the darkness, and the light dwells wherein. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, and has made known unto me now what we desire of thee. For thou hast made known unto us the king's matter. He can praise God, for he's just a messenger. This is what God has for us to know. Thus saith the Lord. So as we see the dialogue going along, verse 27, Daniel again would answer in the presence of the king, the secret which the king hath demanded. Cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king that there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets? That's a key phrase there, revealeth secrets. And maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of the head of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed, what should come to pass hereafter. And he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and thou that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. It's not of me. I'm not some God in myself, as it were. It's not of me. As Joseph would say, it's not interpretations of God. And so we won't go into it, but in connection with the important issues of Daniel and interpretation and this statue and what have you, and the prophetic image that is dealt with here, is brought out. But as in verse 27, 28, 29, it speaks of revealing secrets. With that thought, let's go back to our text now of Genesis 40. And along the way, stop at Genesis 41, please. Genesis 41. Jumping ahead to the next part of this study, just briefly, in chapter 41, note in verse 45 that Pharaoh will eventually call Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paneah, which means Savior of the World or Revealer of Secrets. Remember that term back in Daniel 2, Revealer of Secrets. So we go back to our text of chapter 40, and this one, Joseph, is being asked, to reveal secrets, as it were. No, he's not put in the position that Daniel was. Well, need to tell him the dream and the interpretation. But nevertheless, he's being asked. And he says, do not interpretations belong to God? The secret is about to be revealed. What do these dreams mean? Isn't this something? When you think of Joseph once again as a picture of the Lord Jesus. He, this one Joseph, had that given name, Joseph, which means he will add. If you remember back when his mother birthed him after she saw her husband have other children, but it wasn't by her. And for all those years, finally she birthed this one Joseph, and he will add was kind of a word that pointed to the fact she would have another child one day, which was Benjamin. And yet, that's the given name, Joseph. Now he's given a name that has heavenly meaning. Savior of the world. Revealer of secrets. In a sense, we could think of the Lord Jesus again. He had a given name, you might say, or an earthly name, Jesus. But we also know him as Lord. And we think of him in his deity. The perfect God-man. And we see him there. Here's this one named Joseph, but he's given a name that means revealer of secrets, savior of the world. So we go to our text of chapter 40, and we read of these dreams, beginning there at verse 9. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, in my dream, behold, a vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches, and it was as though it budded, and her blossom shot forth. And the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said unto him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head and restore thee into thy place. And thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou was his butler. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of his house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. This is what will happen, Mr. Chief Butler, cupbearer. You will be put back in that place of esteem, that place of responsibility. You'll be out of prison. But remember me, please. We cannot help but think of the Lord Jesus, the one who was so ill-stricken by the hands of man. And yet he would tell his disciples, this do in remembrance of me. Don't forget me when you go on. Don't forget me. And so here we see the next man coming in, verse 16. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, I also was in my dream, and behold, I had 3 white baskets on my head. And in the uppermost basket there was of all manner of baked meats of faith for Pharaoh. And the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. And Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation thereof. Imagine this one's on the edge of his seat. Maybe I'm getting out of prison too. Yet we see in verse 19, yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the birds shall eat thy flesh from off thee. He knew the interpretation was from God, did Joseph, because he didn't dare ask him, remember me. You're going to die. But, Chief Butler, remember me. So we that know the Lord Jesus, we that live, we can remember him. So in the next following verses, we pick up in verse 20. And it came to pass the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that it was made a feast unto all his servants. And he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. And he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again. And he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand, but he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them, yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. Perhaps we can remember in the Gospels where the story goes that there were the 10 lepers, and they were healed. But the 9 didn't come back to say thank you. There was but the 1. May we be as the faithful one that remembers and hears the call, remember me. So we had that glorious opportunity this morning to come and to remember him. This was Pharaoh's birthday. One man lived, one man died. And as we draw attention to a gospel application, shouldn't this draw our hearts to what the Lord has said, in the sense the two roads and the two destinies? Which road are you on? Here, this one who his name would later in the next chapter be said, revealer of secrets. This one that could point out the future. This one that would say to him, you will live and you will die. That was said by the revealer of secrets. As we turn throughout the Word of God and look at the gospel message, the Lord Jesus Christ has said, trust in me and you shall live. Reject me and you shall die. Come unto me and I will give you rest. The revealer of secrets, the Savior of the world, the one in whom we see Joseph picturing, has made that clear distinction. There's no middle ground. As in the story of Elijah, there on Mount Carmel. Whom will you follow? Follow him, if Baal be God. If the God of heaven be God, follow him. There's one true God. This coming Saturday, Lord willing, we'll be doing a study at the back of the book on the person of Christ. Tremendous study. Broad study. And it gets into who the Lord Jesus Christ is. I appreciate your prayer in preparing for that. But it gets into things concerning the sonship of Christ and the triune Godhead and the deity of Christ and his impeccability and various things about who Jesus Christ is. But in short, I'll say, God's Word has made it clear that this one, the Savior, the Lord Jesus, is the one true Savior. And it's him and him alone that can save you from your sins.
Amen.
Do you know him today? The revealer of secrets. You shall live, you shall die. Choose you whom today you will follow. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Perhaps one of the brothers may close us in prayer.